Good morning. For those of you who don't know who I am, my name's Desi Sipes, and as well as being a member here at Potomac Baptist, I'm also a member of the local chapter or camp in the Gideons. This morning, I'm going to take a few minutes to talk about the work that the Gideons are doing here locally and around the world. And also we have, as Jeff mentioned, we have the privilege of hearing testimony from somebody whose life was changed forever because of the placement of a scripture by a Gideon. The Gideons have a key verse in the Bible, and it's Isaiah 55:11. And that verse reads, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth, that it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." God's word is holy, it's inerrant, and it's infallible. And it promises of a salvation for every single one of us. The sharing of God's word is something that we as Christians as a whole are supposed to do each and every day. And by sharing that word, we can help to accomplish what God pleases in his word. That whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And that the world through him might be saved. That's part of our mission as Christians. Now, I'd like you to do something for me really quickly. Take two fingers. Everybody hold up two fingers. Now put them against your throat. You should feel something. You should start feeling your pulse. About once a second, you feel your heartbeat. Now think about this. For every second, every heartbeat, the Gideons are distributing two scriptures. Two scriptures a second around the world. With that being said, there are four babies being born every second around the world. In the time that I'm up here talking, more than 1,000 children will be born. Of those 1,000 children, only about 500 scriptures will be distributed. So we, as the Gideons, aren't even able to keep up with the population as it grows. Who are the Gideons? Well, we are an association of born-again Christian business and professional men who are members of the local church, and we're dedicated to winning the lost to Christ through our own personal witnessing and the distribution of Scripture. We've been doing this. The Gideons came into existence in 1899, and we've been distributing Scripture since 1908. In that time, we have distributed more than 84 million scripture, we've distributed more than 2 billion scriptures around the world since that time. 84 million around the world last year alone. We distribute in the traffic lanes of life, in hotels and motels, hospitals and convalescent homes. And we also distribute New Testaments like this one right here to schools and to colleges, to prisons, and to police and medical personnel. When we talk about the hotel Bibles, which Jeff mentioned, this one right here. This Bible right here sits in, or like these, sit in hotel rooms, in drawers. I go and look for them. It's $5 to purchase a scripture like this and have it placed into a hotel room. This testament, it's $1.30. The promise Isaiah 55:11 is fulfilled as men and women, boys and girls, come to know the saving grace of Jesus Christ through the reading of a scripture that's placed by a Gideon. Here in Loudoun County alone, we distributed more than 2,300 scriptures locally last year. More than 700 of them were distributed at Nova last October. We're scheduling another distribution this month on the 20th and 21st, where we're expecting to distribute another 700 to 800 scriptures. The ladies of the auxiliary, our wives, who are members of the Gideons as well, last year they distributed more than 300 scriptures themselves to medical offices and dentist offices. You may want to know how you can help us in our mission. Well, first of all, first and foremost, we ask for your prayers. People oftentimes say that in a half-hearted way, but it's true. We can't do what we do without your prayers. And so we covet those. Part of those prayers are to open doors for us in places that are currently closed. places like countries like Yemen and Saudi Arabia. When I first became a Gideon in 2007, there were many countries that were closed to us. Countries like Vietnam, a communist country, which by its nature is atheist. China, which was closed to us, communist by nature. Both of those countries have opened up to us because of prayer. Another thing you could do if you want to help us, gentlemen, you may be part of the Gideons. If you would like to join, let me know at the end of the service. I'll be at the back. If being part of this ministry is something you want to do, let me know and we can talk about that. You can also become, if you don't qualify or you really don't want the obligation of being dedicated to this ministry, being a full-time member of this, you can become part of the Friends of the Gideons, and we can talk about that. It's you partner with us, and you can help us in many ways, and we can talk about that as well. Finally, if God's laid it on your heart, a financial gift. As I mentioned, this hotel Bible right here is $5. We estimate that the life of a hotel Bible is about 6 years. In any given hotel room. And over that time, it's estimated that about 2,600 people will have the opportunity to pick up and read the scripture. And the number of people that have been saved by the reading of a scripture from a hotel room is actually miraculous. At the end of the service, you will have the opportunity to make a financial gift. If you would like, somebody will be standing at the back of the auditorium, and you can place your donation in the offering plate. One thing to remember about the Gideons, every single penny that you donate goes to the buying, producing, and distribution of Scripture. Not one penny goes to overhead. We as Gideons, we pay for all the overhead for our association. So every penny you donate goes to the purchase and distribution of Scripture. Oh, did I mention your donation is fully tax deductible? Or you can purchase scripture throughout the year. Here, you may or may not have noticed in the back left of the foyer as you exit, there's a display of Gideon cards. They look like these. You can use these each year or on different occasions throughout the year to give, donate in honor of somebody. We have in memory cards. We have thinking of you cards, and we also have in recognition cards. You can use these to give people on special occasions, and if you go to Hallmark and you purchase a card, it's about $5 or $6. For $5 and this free card that we stock in the back of the foyer, you can give the gift of God's Word. When people like me are offered an opportunity to come and speak to churches, we have the pleasure of describing to you the great things that our association or our ministries do to further the kingdom of God. Well, this morning, it's more than that, because this morning I have the privilege of introducing to you Mrs. Nancy Rogers. Her life was changed because of the placement of a scripture. And so when we hear from her this morning, you'll get to see how that's changed her life. Nancy and her husband of 32 years, Chris, have three children, Rebecca, Matthew, and Peter. Together, they own a film and video production company, CDR Communications. It's dedicated to helping ministries communicate the gospel message through media. Recently, they produced their first faith-based feature film, For the Glory, which is currently being distributed around the world. In addition to her responsibilities as a wife and mother, Nancy has homeschooled her three children, is a frequent testimony speaker at pastor appreciation banquets for the Gideons, and she's involved in women's ministry and in hospitality in her own church. She and her husband currently reside in Fairfax Station, Virginia. Nancy.
Okay, I hope this mic thing works. Can y'all hear me? Okay, great. This is so great for me to be here with you all. I love fellowshipping with another church. It's really great. And y'all have been very welcoming. Thank you. I know you're probably a little disappointed that Pastor Scott isn't here to give a message this morning, but several months ago, I was doing my testimony at a Gideon's Pastor's Appreciation Banquet, and Pastor Scott attended, and afterwards he asked me if I would ever be willing to come to church, his church, on a Sunday morning and share my testimony. And I said, sure, I'd love to. And so here I am today. He must have thought that this story was something that y'all would enjoy, and I pray that God gets the glory and that y'all will be ministered to as you hear my story. So I grew up in upstate New York in kind of a rural country setting, sort of a horsey area, kind of like Middleburg. It was just beautiful, beautiful setting. Everyone around us had farms. We weren't farmers, but everyone around us had farms. And the farmer that had the property all around us happened to be a seed farmer, and he grew sunflowers. So I just want to give you a picture of how idyllic life was growing up as a young child in this area where you'd, for part of the year, you'd have fields and fields of sunflowers welcoming you in the morning. And you'd think that that would say something about God to me, but my family, we were not Christians, and we went to church very nominally, sort of, you know, Christmas, Easter, every once in a while. So I really didn't ever hear the name of Jesus in my home, and we didn't talk about God. But my parents were wonderful parents. They were very loving, and they provided us with much laughter. And I was the youngest of four children. I had an older sister, two brothers, and then I was the baby. So life was pretty sweet for me, and I really didn't know much hardship or trial or disappointment until I reached the age of 10. And at the age of 10, our family was to go through a terrible tragedy. It was a Sunday evening. It was St. Patrick's Day, actually. And my mom had just put me to bed. And my brothers and my dad were out, I think, at like Boy Scouts or something. I really don't remember that part. But they were not at home. And the phone rang. And I heard my mom weeping. So I got out of bed, and I went to find out what was wrong. And she told me that my oldest sister, who was 18 and away at nursing school in New York City, had gone to the St. Patrick's Day parade with her friends from nursing school. And on their way back to school, a drunk driver had hit my sister as she crossed the street. And she was in very serious condition, lying in a hospital some 8 hours away from where we lived. Well, how do you prepare yourself for news like that? And as a 10-year-old, how do you process that? Well, I didn't process it very well. So my parents left immediately to go to New York City, and my brothers and I were split up to different homes, and I was really by myself. I was staying with an older couple from our neighborhood, and who was I going to talk to? I mean, I didn't have anybody. And it turned out after several days, my sister actually died from her injuries, and my parents were on their way back home. And I'll just never forget the look on their faces when they came in the door, when they returned home. And I really thought, would our lives ever be the same? You know, how do you pick up the pieces from that? And would there ever even be laughter in our home again, or would we all just be crying all the time and sad? And it was just very, very difficult. And I'm sure many of you have lost loved ones or known people who've gone through things, so you can understand. But I felt as a young 10-year-old that I should be able to do something to help fix this. So in my immature thinking, I decided, well, what I needed to do was take my sister's place. You see, I thought that if I could just be the perfect daughter, that I would never cause my parents a moment of pain, and then after a while they wouldn't miss her so much because they'd have this perfect daughter. So I set out on a crusade to be a super daughter, to be a super achiever, to join every organization in school, to be in beauty pageants, to get straight A's. I mean, you name it, I had to achieve it. I didn't become president of the United States, but I tried to do everything. So that just left me just a total nervous wreck most of the time. My parents were unaware that I was doing this, But because, you know, when I'd go to take a test, I would be afraid I wouldn't get a good grade and that would somehow bring sadness to my parents. And you see how this is just very neurotic and unhealthy. And inside, I was desperately unhappy because I had no way to deal with my own grief. And yet I was heaping on all this extra burden on myself to perform and to try to be the one who would never cause my parents pain. So by the time I was a senior in high school, I had made my parents really proud of me, and I, but I had to take tranquilizers before I would take a test because I would get horrendous nosebleeds from the stress that I was putting on myself. So I went off to college with all that baggage and continued to perform well and graduated college with honors and was offered a lucrative job with a very prestigious Fortune 500 company. And I thought, well, gosh, maybe if I just, this is what will make me happy. I'm not happy now, but if I'm really successful in my career, this will make me happy. I'm trying to fill something inside of me, right? So I threw myself into my career. When I describe it, y'all have wanted to do it, but I was in marketing. So marketing is a very social career, and you get to entertain a lot. And so I got to travel extensively. I got to entertain clients at the White House. I had lunch with the Redskins. I did lots and lots of fun things in this area with clients. I also prospered in my job. I drove a Porsche. I lived on a golf course and had my own golf cart, and I played golf every day that I could. I entertained clients at nice restaurants and went to wonderful sales meetings all over the globe. Now, you'd think, in the world's eyes, that this was very successful. And I was successful in the world's eyes in my career. But I was so miserable inside. I was very unhappy. I didn't feel like I was living for anything. And so I thought, well, maybe the answer's in relationships. This is what I should do. I need to find a good relationship. So I began to pursue relationships. And I'm sorry to say that that was a very difficult time because I just made choices that really did hurt my parents quite a bit as I chose relationships and tried to find my way, navigate my way through that. So it came one day when I was flying to a city to go to attend a sales meeting, worldwide sales meeting, and I was just sitting in my hotel room. I guess you can tell where this is leading. And little did I know that the Holy Spirit really had, this was my time. He had an appointment there for me in that hotel room, but I didn't know that. So for some reason, as I was just resting in the room, I began to kind of see my life kind of play before me like a video. And I started thinking through. I started seeing things that I'd never thought about or gone back and reflected on, but I really looked at my life as a whole and I realized how many mistakes I had made and how I had really messed up and how there was no way I could live a perfect life, you know, that, and I was miserable. And I really began to weep, and I actually knelt down on the floor in the hotel room and I began to cry out and ask if there was a God, if he would let me know that he was real and that he had a plan for my life. And I looked up on the desk, and there was a Bible open there. Now, usually, as Desi said, they're in a drawer. You have to look for them. But this Bible was looking for me, and it was open. I mean, I would have no idea where to start reading in a Bible. Like, if you were wanting to hear from God, where would you open up to? But this one was open, so I thought, well, I'll just look at the page that's open here. And it was the book of John, and I read John 10:10. It basically said, I came that you would have life and have it abundantly. And that, I instantly felt a transformation in my soul. I knew that that was God speaking to me, and I promised him right then that I would live the rest of my life for him. Now, I have to tell you, I didn't understand the gospel. This is God's word that's powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. No one had to share the plan of salvation with me. It was simply the word placed there in that hotel room that God used to get my attention and to save me. So I, and it was radical, I have to tell you. I flew home the next day, and my then fiancé picked me up. You know, was waiting at the airport for me, and he picked me up. And as we were driving home, I broke off our engagement. I knew that I couldn't marry this man. And it was, he was not going to follow God with me, and I felt like God had called me to do that. So that's pretty radical. And then my life began to change as I searched for a church, and I'm happy to say that I found this great church that 32 years later I'm still a member of. I met my husband there, and we raised our three children there, and I began to learn about the gospel. I began to learn about grace and sanctification and all that the burden I had put on myself, I could let go. Instead of living to please my parents, I learned how to live to honor my parents. I learned how to just please God by His grace, not by my self-effort. I learned how inward beauty is way more important than outward beauty, and that giving your life away is where you find life. And so that I have never looked back. You know, I noticed you're going to sing this song, "It's Well With My Soul." And I can tell you this many years later, it's well with my soul. My life is filled with wonderful God moments. From the morning I get up till the evening I go to bed, I'm grateful for the work of that God did in my life. And so I just want to thank, I always want to thank the Gideons for the ministry they have. And thank you, church, for supporting the Gideons. And thanks for listening to my story. I hope you've been encouraged.